So this morning is a family Sunday. It's a baptism Sunday. And the amazing thing about baptisms is that we get to hear the stories of Jesus at work in people. And so we've got three people who are baptized, Steve and Amelia and Kaylin. And we get to hear what Jesus was doing in them. But everyone else here has a story as well. And it's also a family Sunday, which means everyone is in the room. We've got kids, we've got youth, we've got people older than kids and youth. So what we want to do is I'm going to have a couple times where we can kind of talk to each other, me to you, you to me, and talk to each other where you get to talk to the people around you. So to recognize that all of us have a story, turn to someone beside you and just tell them a little part of your story. So you could start with, my name is, and then you can use the sentence, something you might not know about me is... like. So for example, my name is John. Something you might not know about me is that I'm learning how to make bread. So a couple weeks ago, I went to a cooking class and learned how to make focaccia and ciabatta bread. So that's something you might not know about me. So you can turn to someone beside you, behind you, someone you came with, someone you didn't come with, and just share a little bit of your story. And if you don't want to share, that's okay. Just sit there and reflect and tell yourself something you might not know about yourself. Okay, so take a couple seconds. Something you might not know about me. Okay, I'm gonna call you back. I'm terribly sorry to interrupt. But if you can hear me, just give me one of these. Just give me a nod. If you can hear me, give the person beside you a nod. If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up. Excellent. So what are some of the things that you learned about someone else? What is something you shared? What's part of your story? Just kind of shout it out. What's something that someone might not know about you? Like iced coffee. Hockey. Hockey guy. Okay. And that's it. All right. Trains. You drive trains. That's cool. That's very cool. Anyone else? One more thing. What's something we learned that we might not have known about someone? Hockey and trains. We'll settle for two. So these are the stories we tell, the things that you might not know about me. And when we share our story like this, we might start with where we live or what we do, or where we grew up, or our hobbies, stuff like that. But underneath of that are the questions that drive us, are the motivations. So we might talk about liking hockey, or making bread, or driving trains, but underneath of that are questions like, am I worthwhile? Do I belong? Am I loved? Am I able to be loved? Are my friends really my friends? Does what I do have any meaning or significance? Do I matter? Would it make a difference if I was here? Do we ask these questions? Do you ever wonder these questions? See, underneath of the things we do and the decisions we make are questions like these, and these are deep questions that drive us. So just turn to your neighbor and share what your deep, I'm just kidding. You don't have to turn to your neighbor. But what is that deep question? What is the ache in your soul? What is the thing that you wake up in the morning and you wonder, is it going to be okay? For me, it's been a couple of things through the years. One is I want to belong. I don't just want to belong, but I want to be at the cool table. And so going through school, going through life, it's like, can I make it to the cool table? And how do I get there? I want to feel like my days make a difference, that what I do matters maybe longer than today, that there's a significance to what I do. And I want to not just be good, but for so much of my life, I have wanted to be better. So not just good, there's certain things I care a lot about, and I don't want to just be good, I want to be better. So one thing I did in school, and I don't know if they still do it, do they still do mad minutes or math minutes in school? Some people are really excited by this. So for some people are like excited and are starting to do it, and others are terrible flashbacks. So I was good at math in school. I loved mad minutes, and I wanted to be the best. For me, it wasn't just a matter of finishing or getting them all right, it was a matter of finishing first. And it was Shasta that kept me from being in first. Shasta was always faster than me. And so every time we did the mad minutes, I could never come in first if Shasta was there. And so it didn't matter how fast I was or how many I got right. If Shasta beat me, it didn't count. And so one day, finally, I came in first in mad minutes. And Shasta wasn't there. And I just feel, it's like, okay, if I can't be better, am I even any good at math? So it's not about being good. I had to be better than Shasta. And I wasn't. And so these questions that drive us, are we worthwhile? Do we matter? They impact our decisions. They impact what we do. See, my meaning and significance wasn't just about getting good. It was about being better. It was like the cookie jar of significance was up on the shelf. Do you ever put important things on a top shelf? Like, especially if you've got kids in the house, you might put them higher up just because. And so the important stuff is on the top shelf, but you can look down and you can see it. It's like it's there, and if you could just reach it, if you could just be tall enough, if you could just stack up enough stuff to get it, that you could have it. And for me, that's what meaning and significance has felt like. It's like it's there, but can I get it? And so to help us kind of unpack what this looks like, I am going to invite my friend Isaac up. And Isaac works with the kids in our church as well as at Young Life. Let's give Isaac a big hand. Yeah. And Isaac, you're going to grab a friend. And so why don't you get someone to help you? I'll give you the mic.
Yeah, 100%. Off the bat. Yep, come on up, Bilton. Okay, that was easy. Oh, thanks, John. Oh. I was supposed to grab the hockey stick for the record. Thank you, John. Well, hi there, my friend. Could you tell everybody your name?
Josiah.
Give it up for Josiah, you guys. Thanks for your help.
Thank you. So, Josiah, thanks for coming up to help. So, in this bag is the meaning and purpose and significance of life, okay? Isaac, could you just keep that safe, please? Now, our goal is to get the meaning and purpose and significance of life, Josiah. So you and I are in the same team here, but I need you to get that. Can you reach that? You didn't try. You should try. Well, if we leave the stick, can you jump? Do you think you could get it if you jumped? Okay. So tell you what, Josiah, if you come over here, you and I are on the same team. I want to help you get this, okay? And so what we're going to do is, do you think if I gave you something to stand on, you could get a little closer to the meaning, purpose, and significance of life? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand you a box, And this box is good marks on a test. Maybe you could beat Shasta. So here's a box. What if you stand on that box?
It would squish.
It would squish, that's okay. But it'll get you closer, right?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, I've got more boxes. So here I have a great group of friends and making the team. So here, but this is two boxes. So what we're going to do is, that box didn't work. That's okay. That makes sense. But we're going to go two boxes on top of each other. Josiah, meaning and purpose, significance of life. Okay.
Sorry,
bro. So I think we're going to have to bring out the bigger boxes because we're going to do this. We're going to get it. Imagine that this is a vacation anywhere in the world. If you could go anywhere in the world right now, where would you go?
Mexico.
Nice, it'd be very sunny right now. Okay, so these boxes, no good. What do you think about this one? Can you reach it? Okay, hop off. We got one last one. I'm gonna pull out the big guns on this one. Josiah, you're doing great, by the way. Have you ever had to look for the meaning, purpose, and significance of life before? Okay. So we're on this together. So I've got here the biggest box I've got. It's got an amazing desk in a corner office with lots of window. It's got stacks of cash. It has just incredible love from all of your peers online and in real life. Romantic relationship, maybe not quite yet, but down the road. And maybe a hockey team winning the Stanley Cup. So it would be great. Okay, so this one's a little taller. If you need a hand, I can give you a hand, but what do you think? Do you think this one? Meaning, purpose, significance of life? All right, hop down. Josiah, we have not yet been able to attain the meaning, purpose, and significance of life. How do you feel?
Bad.
Yeah, it feels bad, doesn't it? Do you have any other ideas? All of the boxes. Do you think that would work? Do you want to try? Okay. So we're going to have money, love, hockey teams. We're going to do the vacation. And we're going to do the great tests. Meaning, purpose, significance of life, go! Oh, all right. It was a good try. It was a good idea. Now, you know, I have one last idea, Josiah. If you come stand here, let's puzzle it out together. Do you have any ideas? Okay, I've got one idea. Can we try my idea? Is that okay? What if you asked Isaac? Just, what if you just ask him? Give it a shot.
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
So, and that is the dance you do when you find the meaning of life. Josiah, if you take a look in here, this is the symbol of the meaning of, you can take all those things back to your seat. It's mini eggs, disco ball pens, and pepperoni sticks. So, what did we learn? Other than that the meaning of life is found at the dollar store. See, we see this example about building boxes, and Josiah had an idea that I think a lot of us have tried is, those boxes didn't work, but what if we tried more boxes? See, it's not so much about the boxes, but I think a lot of us would try and have some kind of achievement, a goal, a certificate, a degree, a program, that how many of us just live for the next vacation? And all of our identity, all of our hope and significance is built on going to the next place. Or maybe it's finding a partner if you're single. Or maybe getting engaged if you're dating. Or maybe being married if you're engaged. Or maybe having kids if you're married. But whatever it is, it's like, maybe just the next one, maybe a little further, maybe a little closer, maybe then I will find the meaning, the purpose, the significance of life. But the thing is it doesn't actually work. See, what happens when you finish the class? What happens when you graduate? What happens when you get the degree? What happens when you get the job? Is it feels exciting for a little while, but then after that, it just feels like you need the next thing. Or if you sit and you update the tracking on the package that it's on its way to your house, And you get the notification that the driver's out, and then you get the notification that it's been dropped off, and then you go and pick it up. And the next new thing, you open the box, and the next new thing just turns into the next thing. And now meaning is in the next package. That it's always just a little more. It's always just a little further. How many likes is enough likes on a post so that you have eternal significance, belonging, and love? And the thing is even if one does well, well, what about the next one? See, the box is, it turns out that they're empty, that they don't actually, they might get us what feels like closer, but they don't help us achieve meaning, purpose, and significance in life. As the Bible says, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And you're like, well, that sounds depressing for the Bible. But I think that there's actually a beauty in it because it's honest. It's saying that these boxes will not actually help you attain meaning, purpose, and significance. They're meaningless. And so if that doesn't, what will? If you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. If you are a Bible writer, underliner, highlighter, put a star beside, whatever, this is a good passage to do that for. And if you aren't a Bible underliner, highlighter, star, that's okay. You could still do that for this one if you want. If you want to grab a pew Bible and you put a star beside this passage, that's your Bible now and you can take it home and that's good. We want you to do that. But this is our story. This is all of our story. So Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. As for you, Aldergrove, as for you, kids and parents and grandparents, as for me, all of us were dead in our transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the king, ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when we read the Bible like this, I say, this is the word of the Lord. You say, thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. See, this passage, it talks about boxes in different words. It doesn't talk about vacations and tests and corner offices, but what it talks about is the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. In other words, we are driven to try and answer some of these questions, and it doesn't matter what we need to do as long as we get what we want. And so we're driven by this desire to feel worthwhile, to feel like we belong. And it doesn't really matter what we do to get there. And so for me, I, for a long time, really wanted to be cool. And so not only did I want to hang out with the cool kids over here, but then I would avoid the kids over here. That if there's someone that I felt would be not cool enough that it would pull me away from the cool kids, well, then maybe I'd put them down or insult them. Because maybe if they're lower, I get closer, right? Or if I want to be number one in the Mad Minutes and Shasta's there, well, maybe I steal her pencil. If it's a mechanical pencil, maybe I break all the lead so she just slows down that little bit. Because if I've got to be number one, then I've got to take her out, right? And if we feel like what we need is the next thing or to keep up, then maybe what we're going to do is max out the credit cards, max out the line of credit so that we can have the house and the phone and the clothes and the next thing and the next thing. And we start to just do whatever we need just as long as we can try and answer the question. But it doesn't work like that. It says here that by nature, we were deserving of wrath. And that sounds intense. But there's a lot of God words that describe God in the Bible. He's the God who loves. He's the God who sees. He's the God who provides. But one of the most common words used of the Bible is that God is holy. That he cares a great deal about how we live, how we treat others, how we treat ourselves, how we engage with him, that God cares a great deal about that. And when we just pursue our desires, it puts us on the other side of God's holiness. That if we're willing to do whatever we need to get what we feel like we want, It actually goes against God's character. And this leaves us dead in sin. Do you feel dead? Have you ever felt dead? You might say, I've never felt dead. I've felt tired, but I've never felt dead. And the interesting thing is that dead doesn't feel dead. Dead feels worthless. Dead feels hopeless. Dead feels irredeemable. Dead feels unwanted. Dead feels like maybe it would be better if I wasn't here. See, dead doesn't feel dead. Dead feels like all of those things. And so if you hear the words insufficient or unwanted or dirty, have you ever felt dead? I know for me, I have. There have been times where I feel like I am just being swallowed by this overwhelming pit of despair and blackness. You are dead in your sins, it says. But then there's a moment where everything turns around. Has anyone here ever seen the TV show The Mandalorian? So there's one point where they're in a room and like all the bad guys are there and there's absolutely no way they're ever going to escape and everyone, like all hope is lost and whatever could you do? And then the music changes and you just hear shung, 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 shung. And then the door opens and Luke Skywalker walks in and you're like, Luke Skywalker is in Mandalorian. If you haven't seen it, you've had long enough. And so it's this moment where everything changes, where everything was lost, but then because Luke Skywalker shows up, there's hope. And so in this moment, when we were dead, when we were hopeless, when we were pursuing all of the boxes that we thought would get us closer to meaning and significance, in that moment, when we were lost in a pit of despair, in that moment, God, because of his great love for us, made us alive in Christ. You may have seen someone who's passed away, maybe a friend or a family member, been in the hospital in that moment, and you've seen someone who has gone from life to death. And the remarkable thing that we see on Baptism Sunday is that we actually get to participate in this picture of seeing people going from death to life. Of those who were once dead, for those who were hopeless, for those who were struggling to find joy and meaning and purpose, because of his great love for us, God has made us alive in Christ. So that's this picture of baptism. And we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. It says that it is the gift of God. Now, grace, we are saved by grace through faith. The word grace, it just means gift. So just turn to someone beside you and what's a gift you remember receiving recently? And just share, like, what's a gift you remember receiving? It doesn't have to be the last gift or the best gift. Just what gift do you remember? Sorry, this isn't a long one. It's not conversations. Just share. What gift? And I'm going to call you back. See, a gift that is a gift. Indeed, how much did that gift cost you? If it's really a gift, no strings attached, if it's truly a gift, then that gift cost you nothing. It was all in the giver. And in the same way, this life that we receive in Jesus, it is his gift. By grace, you have been saved. You can't build boxes tall enough to receive that. But when you ask Isaac, and Isaac's a great guy, and if Isaac would give Josiah the meaning of life, and significance and purpose, how much more would Jesus do for us if we asked him? It is by grace you have been saved. And what is this grace? It is the incomparable riches of God's grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Have you experienced the kindness of Jesus? Have you experienced the incomparable riches of his grace, this beautiful gift? See, for so much of my life, I have just wanted to be cool. Because I want to be accepted, I want to belong, but when I find my belonging and my acceptance in Jesus, what I discover is that it doesn't matter what table I sit at. Whatever table I sit at is full of cool people. I'm freed from this drive and this desire to manipulate my status based on who I hang out with and who I don't. But because Jesus loves me, I can sit anywhere and love and be loved without having to value myself based on my acceptance by others. The incomparable riches, the kindness of God expressed to us in Jesus. And this is the good news, that Jesus was God. He became human, lived a perfect life. He died the death of a guilty man, though he was innocent, paying the price for our sin. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, defeating the power of death. And when we believe that is true, we are taken from death to life. And so if you are here this morning and you're wondering, what's the deal with Jesus? That's the deal with Jesus. That somehow when you believe that that is true, you go from death to life. And if you're sitting there and you're like, I think I might believe that that is true, then we would love to talk to you. Or if you know someone who's a Jesus follower, they would love to talk to you. This is the gospel. This is why we ask the question, do you believe that Jesus came, died, rose again, and wants to give you new life? That's why we ask that question in baptism. And if you're not new to Jesus, do you remember the kindness of Jesus towards you? Do you remember that it's not what you do, that you can actually stop building boxes? See, it's not about not getting to do these things. But could you imagine not having to do them? Like what would it be like if you didn't have to take the vacation? What would it be like if you didn't have to get the job? What would it be like if you didn't have to make the team in order to be loved and accepted? See, it completely changes if you don't have to do it, but maybe you could do it if you wanted to do it. The kindness to you, because when we start to follow Jesus, sometimes we fall into the trap of going back and building boxes. And it becomes Jesus and. If I had Jesus and money, Jesus and a job, Jesus and this, then I can have meaning and significance. But friends, it's only Jesus. Paul says to the church in Galatians, why in the world would you start with what God has done and then try and add in what you need to do or what want to do? He said it's foolish. We never outgrow the gospel. This is always the good news. So this morning, you might hear the stories that were shared. You might look around and think, this could never be for me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what's been done to me. I have not done nearly enough good. I have done so much bad. And you might feel dirty and useless. You might sit here and feel like you are an idiot or worthless or unwanted or irredeemable or whatever it is. But if there's words like that going through your head, making you think this is not for you, friends, this is for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus is calling you. All you have to do is reach out to him and he will respond. Just like Josiah, hey, Isaac, could I have that? Hey, Jesus, could I have that new life that guy was talking about? So what could Jesus do for you if you were willing to ask? Just think about it for a moment. What's your favorite dessert? You don't have to share. You can if you want, just with someone beside you. But my favorite dessert is not Jelly Roll. But Jelly Roll is a musician. And he has an interesting song called Unpretty. And so Jelly Roll, he's wrestling with his own story. And he says, I hate the man I used to be, but he'll always be a part of me. Right now, looking at my past, I know it's unpretty. Can't hide the pain I've been through. I wear my scars like my tattoos. The man who I was wrong, but he's the one who built me. And it's this man who's struggling with the pain of his past, but trying to wrestle with the hope and the identity and the purpose of what Jesus offers. So if you are here this morning, if we had to take attendance, let me tell you that there are no idiots in the room, that no one is unwanted, that no one is irredeemable, that no one is so dirty that you are beyond the love of God. See, this last line here, it says in Ephesians that we are God's handiwork. The Greek is poema, which is where we get the English word. Poem. You are God's poem. And the way that you write a poem, you think about the words, you choose them carefully. God has thought a lot about you. He chose you specifically, carefully, that you are God's poem. There's no one too far gone. And all of this is for a purpose. That we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we've got Easter coming up. How many people are excited about Easter egg hunts? Yes. How many people have siblings and have to do Easter egg hunts? Yes. Takes something out of it, doesn't it? If you do Easter egg hunts, sometimes there can be this franticness that if it's a free-for-all, for every egg they get, you get one less. And so you're like, oh, come on. And so you can be tempted to try and take them out so you get more eggs. But my parents, what they instituted was, you get five, you get five, you get five. Once you find five, you're done. And you're like, oh, okay. So in this house, there are specific eggs for me. And if you got that one, then that's not mine. Mine's a different one. And in the same way, it says here that we have been saved for God, good works that God has prepared in advance, which means that there is an Easter egg hunt for you, for something just for you that God has put on today to do something that will matter forever. So today, there's a John thing to do. Today, there's a Steve thing to do. Today, there's an Amelia thing to do. Today, there's a Kaylin thing to do. Today, there's a you thing to do that will matter forever. You get to do something that matters forever. And you're like, wow, that's a lot of pressure. It's not. It's just what you were designed to do. It could be as simple as a kind word, a good gesture. It could be just whatever God has wired you to do, planted you to do. That is the thing that you can do that matters forever. See, it's not boxes that get it. It is what God has done. He has taken us from death to life, given us meaning, significance, and purpose. And so the question for you today is, what could you do if you could stop building boxes? What is it that Jesus might offer you if you just asked him? If you don't know Jesus, we would love to introduce you. After the service, we'll have a prayer team available. There are followers of Jesus. We would love to tell you more about this new life. And maybe you are a follower of Jesus and you've been on this journey for a while. The question then is, where have you experienced his kindness? If you're climbing Everest, you can look up and just see how far you have to go, but look down and see how far he's taken you. What has God done in your life? And what is he doing right now? There's still a journey. There's still questions. But Jesus is still doing stuff in each of us. And finally, what Easter eggs, what good things are waiting for you today? What's something you could do today that's just for you that could matter forever? So I'm going to invite the band up. And would you join me in prayer as we close? So Jesus, I pray right now that you, in the stillness of our hearts, would help us to understand our story. God, where we feel like we could never know you, that we could never be good enough, God, would you just reveal your love, that you would help us to understand the gift of your grace. God, if we have lost sight of all that you've done and we started to look for Jesus' end, would you help us to see that too? And that we would return to the good news of the gospel. And for all the good things that you have prepared for us to do today, God, in all of the joy, in all of the hope, in all of the strength that you provide, would we do these things that you have planned just for us? This little Easter egg hunt that you've sent us on. So God, would you help us to see the story you're writing in our lives? And we pray this in your name. Amen.